This is the NedGroup Investments podcast, where we explore a variety of views and insights that investors care about.
Hello, I'm Lilama Robertson, and today I am thrilled to have Nick Andrew, head of NedGroup Investments, back to talk with me. Nick recently presented on the content at our annual Global Summit in London, where he shared intriguing insights on investment trends from the past two decades and their implications for the future. Nick, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Lilama. It's always a pleasure.
Nick, in your presentation, you highlighted five headlines from the past that offer valuable lessons for recognizing trends in the future. Can you walk us through how these concepts link together, and specifically in the asset management space?
Sure, Lilama. Well, as you know, 2023 marks the 20th anniversary of NedGroup Investments. And I thought it would be a good opportunity to take stock of how far we and the industry have come and how, in doing this, it may help in assessing and trying to identify what the key trends over the next two decades may be. Because the financial industry is constantly evolving and facing new challenges and opportunities, and all businesses, including ours, need to adapt to remain relevant. So I actually had some fun, and I went and looked at what some of the big newspaper headlines of 2003 were, when people still read lots of newspapers, to see if there were any nuggets and insights we could learn from.
Now, that sounds really intriguing. So let's start with one of the big events you identified, the completion of the Human Genome Project and its implications. Why is hindsight into this headline of 20 years ago so valuable?
Well, the completion of the Human Genome Project in 2003 marked a monumental scientific breakthrough. It was a massive project. It cost, I think, $2.7 billion and taken about 13 years to complete. But what's really been amazing is how fast the technology has become cheaper over time. So to give you some context, in 2003, it used to cost $100 million to sequence a single genome. Today, it costs less than $1,000. So such an enormous reduction has opened up a world of opportunities in healthcare, in biotech, that were absolutely unthinkable 20 years ago. So this is an example of exponential change, where something becomes much faster, much cheaper, and much more accessible than you'd anticipated over time. And this isn't just happening in biotechnology, but also in other fields like computing, artificial intelligence, and energy.
That's incredibly unbelievable. Now, I'm just curious, why is that important for us?
Well, Lilama, as Ray Kurzweil, who was the founder of Singularity, famously said, naturally, as humans, our intuition about the future is linear, not exponential. And that makes a huge difference. So if we can stand and try to figure out where exponential changes are happening, it's incredibly valuable, especially if we're close to those inflection points where they're about to take off. For example, an area where I think we are currently right at the point of inflection in terms of exponential change is generative AI, which has really benefited from the rapid increases in computer power recently.
Geez, that's really fascinating. So Nick, you've spoken a lot about generative AI in a previous podcast, and I think it's definitely an inflection point in our history. What do you mean when you talk about digitization as an inflection point now?
Well, Lilama, it actually links to one of the other big headlines I noticed when looking at the big events of 20 years ago. When, in fact, one of the headlines that wasn't there. There was no headlines about iPhones because iPhones didn't even exist 20 years ago. That's quite hard to imagine when today more than 2.4 billion units have been sold and smart mobile phones have become somewhat of an extension of our bodies and minds and how we actually live. This serves as a reminder of the unpredictability of the future. We simply don't know what we don't know. Technological advancements such as generative AI will revolutionize creative tasks and processes in a way we could not even imagine 12 months ago, impacting a wide range of industries, including financial services. I think we are at a point where the rate and scale of change is likely to surprise on the upside.
I guess it's already happening, in my opinion, especially if you consider the rate at which OpenAI has launched and has been adopted. Okay, so We know this is a big moment in terms of AI, but you also noted a few other big trends that you think the industry should prepare for. Can you talk us through a few of those?
Absolutely. So we've talked a little bit about exponential change, but another kind of change are where there are structural trends that play out. And they tend to play out slowly but surely over the longer term, but also have a big impact. So if you can recognize these trends in the earlier stages, investors or businesses can position themselves to capitalize on those tailwinds and navigate potential headwinds. An obvious one is climate change. When I looked in 2003 at the headlines, they had headlines of the highest ever temperature recorded in the UK. It was in a place called Gravesend in Kent, and the temperature was 38.5 degrees. Last year, a new record of 42 degrees was set. And since temperatures were actually recorded in 1911, four of the top five temperatures have been in the last 5 years. So clearly there's a kind of structural trend happening. This has far-reaching impacts on many industries, not to mention the other very real elements of climate change, like the effects on biodiversity and human life. Understanding these changes is not only essential for responsible investing, but also crucial for engaging in open and transparent conversations around what the future might look like. Another really big trend to factor in is the impact of interest rates on asset prices. Specifically, those of us who've had our careers in the last two decades, culminating in 2020, we've seen artificially low rates that have created several anomalies. This can be from extreme valuations of non-income producing assets, such as loss-making companies, to excessive leverage that is encouraged in certain pockets or industries, right through to negative yielding risk-free assets across much of the developed world. However, over the past 18 months, we've seen an extremely fast reversal of this. I think the Fed's now had 11 consecutive rate hikes. And this has been much more severe and rapid than many of us have ever experienced in our careers. And this has had obvious effects in equity and bond markets. And that's one of the reasons why 2022 was one of the toughest investment years in history. But it's important to understand that while this is recognized in certain asset classes and typically in the most liquid asset classes, because there it's been factored in, there's certain asset classes where this still needs to play out, and those would typically be the more illiquid classes where they're still waiting for refinancing.
Absolutely. The listed equity market space has adapted really quickly to this new environment. So another trend you mentioned in your presentation was demographics, and specifically the aging global population. How do you see this affecting the way decisions are made in the future?
Well, demographics and the rate of change. Here you've got something that's very slow, but sure, and that over time can have a very profound impact on the world. For example, the effects of declining fertility can be really significant. Interestingly, the critical number for population stability is 2.1. What that actually means is that every couple needs to have at least 2.1 children to replace themselves and account for mortality. If the rate falls below 2.1, the population will start to decline over time unless it's compensated by immigration. And that's what we see in much of the world today, other than Africa. And this kind of decline is particularly noticeable in Western Europe and China. One of the big implications of this is that as the population ages faster, meaning that there are more elderly people and fewer young people, which in turn has lots of implications. This means there'll be less productive workers to support the economy and more retirees who are not working to depend on those working population for their pensions and healthcare.
Yes, an example of this played out to the extreme is that 50% of Japan's spending comes from people over 60 and only 13% from people under 40.
Yeah, it's quite remarkable.
That's a huge gap, eh?
Yes.
And what about China? I heard that its population has peaked at 1.4 billion and could reduce by more than a third by the end of the century.
That's right. I was very surprised by that statistic as well, but it just shows how this demographics works over time. But China's population growth has slowed, you know, really fast due to its one-child policy. Its working population is already reducing rapidly. And as you mentioned, it's anticipated that the total population will reduce from 1.4 billion to just over 1 billion by the end of the century. This poses a challenge for its economic growth. It has implications on social stability and politics. And it's something that we will certainly have a huge impact on other economies and businesses around the world in the future, which for decades have really relied on the Chinese growth miracle.
Wow, thank you for connecting all these dots, Nick. It's clear how the past shapes our understanding of current trends. As we conclude, what would you say is the key takeaway for our listeners?
I would say that recognizing trends from the past and connecting them to current developments is very, very helpful to make informed investment and business decisions. Embracing change and staying informed about the rapidly evolving landscape is vital for success and for industry participants to remain relevant. But at the same time, as we try to position ourselves for future success in the next two decades, it's important to recognize that some things don't change. As we navigate the future, it's crucial to remember that investors are human and driven by emotions. And the most successful players in the investment industry will be those that create value and generate trust through the consistency of their actions.
Well said, Nick. Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your profound insights. I've learned a lot.
Thank you, Lulama. It's been a great time to spend with you.
Need Group Collective Investments is an authorised collective investments scheme manager in terms of the Collective Investments Schemes Control Act. Need Group Investments does not provide advice on financial products and will only give you factual information. For further details on our funds and to view our terms and conditions, please visit needgroupinvestments.co.za. Need Group Investments. See money differently.